There was a mother who called her daughter and she told her, "Dear, I am right in the middle of fixing a cake and I have run completely out of milk. Your father is not here. He's gone to work. I don't have a car. Can you run to the store and get me some milk?" The daughter says, "Yes, Mom. I was planning on going to the store anyway at 10:30. I will run by the store. I'll do my shopping. And I will try to be there somewhere between 11:30 and noon." Another mother calls her daughter. "Dear, I'm right in the middle of fixing a cake. And I've run out of milk. Your father has gone to work. I don't have a car. Will you go to the store and get me some milk?" The daughter answers, "Sure," and hangs up the phone. She immediately puts the dog outside for a couple of minutes. She runs to the back bedroom and wakes up her 2-year-old child and says it is time to get up. She gets her dress, she gets the dog back in, she goes out and starts the car. She sees that the car is almost out of gas. She makes a quick stop by the gas station, puts $10 in, goes immediately to the grocery store and has the milk there by 9:30. What's the difference in the response between those two daughters? I find it interesting when I made mention of the first one, there was a big groan when the daughter answered, "Ugh." Folks, the difference is simple. The first daughter would get milk for her mother at her convenience. Isn't that right? "Oh, yeah, I was going to the store anyway. Leaving about 10:30. I might get you the milk this afternoon." And the other daughter responded to her mother out of total conviction and love for her mother. She had a lot of things to do in order to get ready. She made a rush trip, dropped everything, and got her mother the milk immediately. One out of convenience, one out of conviction. That's the title of our lesson this morning. Convenience or conviction? I want us to begin by looking at the definition of those two terms. That word convenience means this: that which is easy and comfortable. Conviction, on the other hand, is defined as this: that which is done out of fixed or firm belief. Convenience or conviction. My friends, our religion is supposed to be practiced out of absolute conviction, isn't it? We do things as Christians because we have a firm belief that this book is the inspired, holy will of the Almighty God. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he says this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Paul says the message that we have, the words that we are speaking, they didn't come from this world. They were given unto us by the Holy Spirit of God who searched the mind of God. And we don't keep these things in ourselves. We speak these words to mankind. My friends, you and I are convicted that this is the Word of the living God. Point number two. We practice the things that we practice because it is our belief that these things are authorized in the pages of this book. Isn't that what Paul exhorted the church at Colossae to do in Colossians 3:17? And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name, that is, by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. God wants this done. He has authorized it to be done. And we must needs do it. A firm, fixed belief in that. We do these things because we have a fixed belief that if we do them, it will cause the Father to be well pleased with us. John makes an interesting statement in 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever ye ask, ye shall receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. Now notice that last statement. And do those things that are what? Pleasing to Him. I have God's Word. God's Word has given me a commandment. And I want to do that commandment because I want to be pleasing unto the Almighty God. A firm, fixed belief in that. We do things because of a firm, fixed belief that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Master. Listen to Jesus. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Nobody forced you to become a Christian. Nobody put a gun to your head. You voluntarily said, I want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, even when we've done everything commanded, we are still unprofitable servants. We've only done that which is our duty to do. We have a firm, fixed belief that one of these days, I don't know when that day's coming, but one of these days, I will stand before God. And I will give an account of everything I think, everything that I decide, everything that I say, everything that I do. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. One day I will stand and give an account of every action before the Almighty God. I believe that. It's a firm, fixed belief. My friends, we do these things with a firm, fixed belief that in doing them, you and I are following the example of Christ. And every day, you and I are molding and developing ourselves into His image by doing what He desires for us to do. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. This point could go on and on and on and on, could it not? We do things because we have a firm, fixed belief, a confident belief that this is exactly what God wants. I want to be obedient. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to stand justified in the last day. I want to be just like Jesus. We worship because we have a fixed conviction. We attend Bible classes because we have a firm conviction. We visit those who are sick, those who are afflicted, the orphans, the widows. Why? Because of a firm conviction. We allow ourselves to be used as teachers in the teaching program. Why? Because of a fixed conviction. We spread the gospel of Christ to others because of a firm conviction that we have, folks. We support the works of the church. Why? Because we have a firm conviction. We need to do that. We use our treasures, our time, our talents to the glory of God. Why? Because you and I possess a firm conviction that it must be done. Our religion is to be practiced with conviction. But it's possible for our religion to be practiced out of convenience, can it? I want us to start with an example. This is an Old Testament example. In the days of Rehoboam, he was the son of Jeroboam. The kingdom divided because King Rehoboam made an unwise decision in the nation of Israel. The kingdom divided into two nations, did it not? One nation is known as the Ten Tribes. It's oftentimes referred to by the name Israel, and it was the northern kingdom. The other kingdom consisted of only two tribes. It is referred to by the name of Judah, and it was the southern kingdom. So now we have two kingdoms. If you have a kingdom, you need a what? You need a king, don't you? So now we have two kings over the land of Canaan, one in the north, one in the south. In the northern kingdom, Jeroboam takes the throne. In the south, Rehoboam continues to reign over the two tribes. Now, there was a problem for Jeroboam, and the problem was this: Jerusalem was in the southern kingdom. Jeroboam knew that Jerusalem is a very important, vital city, is it not? In fact, the Jews were commanded by God to go there and worship three times a year. All males were to gather in that city. Jeroboam thought to himself, if all the children of Israel go back to the south during these feast days, during these important holidays, it will revive, it will rekindle their love for the southern kingdom, and they will continue there, and guess what? I will lose my kingdom. Well, if there's anything people in power don't want to do, that's lose their power. Isn't that true? Jeroboam didn't want to lose his kingdom. So guess what he does? His first action was for the Israelites to be able to worship out of convenience. Convenience. Listen. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Wow. He took one of those calves and set it up in Bethel, and he set up the other in a city called Dan. Did you hear what he said? It is too much. What does he mean by that? It's too difficult. Make that old long, hard trip all the way to Jerusalem. It's just too much. It's too far. You got to load your wagons. You got to load your kids. You got to get your sacrifices. And you got to go hundreds of miles to get to Jerusalem. It's too much of a burden. It takes far too much of your time. So therefore, I'm going to set up two brand new places of worship. One in the south, one in the north, and guess what? At your convenience, you choose which one of those places you desire. He sought to make worship easy, comfortable, and convenient for the nation of Israel. Surely the 10 tribes wouldn't go for such a thing, right? Surely not. Jerusalem was the city of David. Jerusalem was the city of God. Jerusalem was the city in which the temple of God had been built. It was the very place of the presence of God Himself. Folks, the people of these 10 tribes had made trip after trip after trip after trip to the city of Jerusalem throughout their lives. Surely, no faithful Jew would be tempted to go to Dan or Bethel. And this thing became a sin for the people. Went to worship unto the one, even unto Dan. Can't believe it. It worked. You want to know why it worked? Because convenience is easy. It's simple. It's comfortable, isn't it? And what's simple, easy, and comfortable, that is appealing, isn't it? Do Christians ever serve their God out of convenience rather than out of total conviction for what God desires of us in this book? Do we ever worship at our convenience? Do we attend Bible classes at our convenience? Do we just study our Bibles when it's convenient? Are we involved in visitation when it's convenient? We'll have a gospel meeting in the first part of April. Will we just attend the nights that it's convenient? Do we participate in the works of the church that are convenient to us? Do we use our talents in the church when it's convenient for us to use our talents? If the answer is yes, we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves this question. What are some of the problems that develop when we start doing things out of convenience rather than out of conviction? This is a whole lesson we could present. We could be here a long time. Just going to run through some reasons. Folks, when we do things out of convenience, not conviction, things may get done, things may not get done. Right? Could you imagine having a child at home that you needed to vacuum the floor and tell them, why don't you just do it out of your convenience? Yeah, right? That floor ain't getting vacuumed. When we do things out of convenience, there's little or there's no sacrifice. Oh, Mom, I was going to the store anyway. She wasn't making a special trip on behalf of Mom. There was no sacrifice. All she had to do is pick up a gallon of milk as she walked down the milk aisle, or when she got a gallon for her children. No sacrifice. When we do things out of convenience, there's no heartfelt decision to serve the Lord. God wants us to choose Him. I won't do this. I can't do that. Why? Because I must do this for the Almighty God. I just do it out of convenience. I don't even have to think about it. There's no decision there. The individual becomes an unreliable member of the body of Christ. Can I depend on Him? I don't know. If it's convenient for Him, He'll be here. If it's not convenient, He won't. Self prevails over the spiritual. Doesn't it? Here's the one that scares me. The heart gets hardened. All of a sudden, this is the way I do things now. I don't ever think about it anymore. This is just the way it's done. And guess what? I really don't care. God's will can be violated in the process. Remember what was said earlier about the nation of Israel? And this thing became a sin, didn't it? The Christian becomes a poor example to his brothers and sisters in Christ and to the world. Is this what it means to practice your religion with every fiber of your being? You mean I can follow your example and make it to heaven? Convenience oftentimes pleases men, doesn't it? And folks, some spiritual things will just simply no longer matter. I've told churches where I've preached before, what if all of us did like you do on Wednesday nights? What if we all just did like you do on Wednesday nights? You know what we'd have to do in some places? If we follow a certain person, we just have to shut the doors. Isn't that right? You see, spiritual things won't matter. Would it matter to you if we didn't have a 9 o'clock service? Would it matter to you if we don't have a 10 o'clock Bible class? Would it matter to you if we don't have a Wednesday evening class? Would it matter to you if we just shut our clothing closet down and quit that work? Would it matter to you if we don't have a gospel meeting at all? You see, it's easy for things all of a sudden not to matter to us. Why? Because I've been practicing my religion out of convenience anyway. Point number four, let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Jesus lived a life of absolute conviction, didn't he? I want to go to one passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, and I want us to look at it for just a moment. Who, that's Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In those three little verses, we find a man who lived a life of conviction. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he thought it not robbery. He thought it not something to be grasped, to held on to be equal with the Father. He was going to have to give up being a spirit being, was he not? He was going to have to give up the splendors that are in heaven and all the riches that are there in order to come to this earth. He was going to have to give up something pure and holy and come to something that was sinful and vile. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Wouldn't it have been a lot more convenient for him to have stayed in heaven? He made himself of no reputation. Now I realize we live 2,000 years past the event, do we not? Folks, when that man was here dwelling on the face of this earth, you want to know what they thought of him? That is the Nazarene. That's what they thought of him. That's the carpenter's son. That's the man who claims to be the Son of God. But we know his mother, we know his father, we know all of his children, all of his brothers and sisters. We know who he is. He didn't have a reputation, meaning somebody that was honored and looked to and bowed down before. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself what? The form of a servant. Can you imagine the second member of the Godhead coming to earth and serving rather than being served? That's hard to believe, isn't it? He became a man. I don't think there's any profit in God becoming a man, not for God. Is there? Got to get an old body. Got to feed it. Got to walk everywhere. Gets sick. It can be beaten. It gets hurt. Ugh. He became a man just like us. Subject to all the same temptations. Had all the same passions as you and I did. He lost much, did he not, in the course of his life? That wasn't very convenient for our Lord. He humbled himself, didn't he? Listen to this next statement. He became obedient. Folks, obedience isn't always convenient. You know that? He became obedient. And not just one thing, not just two things, not just a couple of things. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. It wasn't convenient to die either, was it? He did that out of conviction, out of belief that this is what my Father desires of me, and that by doing this, all men will be blessed. And he didn't just die. It wasn't like he went to bed one night and didn't wake up. Even the death of what? Even the death of the cross. One of the most horrific deaths that any human being could ever experience. Don't tell me Jesus lived a life of convenience. He did not. That's not to mention the anger that was shown toward him, the hatred that individuals had for him, the hostility that was displayed toward him almost everywhere he went, the persecution, the mental anguish that he had to suffer, the ingratitude of individuals, the blasphemy of his name. None of that right there is fun. I don't think he suffered that because it was convenient for him to do it. I want to make 2 points. We're going to stay right here in this text, but we're going to make 2 points. We're going to look at verse 5 and we're going to look at verse 8. Verse 5 is our first point. We are to follow the example of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then verses 6 through 8 follow. Isn't that something? I want you to live your life the way Jesus led His life. And it wasn't a life of convenience. It was a life of conviction. There's verse 9. God rewards the convicted. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above all names. Folks, when you and I live a life of conviction, when we do what God wants us to do, regardless of how inconvenient it is for us, how hard it is for us, guess what? God rewards those who are convicted. Jesus now sits where? Upon the throne of heaven as King of kings and Lord of lords, and one day all humanity will bow before His name and confess that name before all. Did God call us to a religion of convenience, or did God call us to a religion of conviction? I think we know the answer. The question that we really need to ask ourselves is this: which one of those two religions am I practicing? And it doesn't matter about me, the elders. What matters is this: God knows, doesn't He? Maybe there's someone here, for some reason, I don't know why, you've never obeyed the gospel. Maybe it's just not convenient to become a Christian and to live the Christian life. Have to give up some things, don't we? Have to change the way we live. Those who do will be rewarded. You need to obey the gospel this morning. If you have faith, if you're willing to repent of sins, confess Jesus' name, we can baptize you into Christ for the remission of sin. Dear Christian, as you evaluate your life, is mine practiced out of convenience or conviction? Do you need to respond to this invitation as together we stand and sing?